Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to this moment thanking you for all that you are, thanking for all that you have done. Thank you for your son, Jesus, for what he was willing to sacrifice that we might have a right to the tree of life. Thank you for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us and who conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we come asking you in this moment that you would allow your word to speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, to transform us and challenge us with who you are calling us to be in this day and in this time. So, Lord, I ask that you would anoint me afresh, use me for your glory, rescue me from me, and allow people to hear your voice in your tenor and in your tone, to the end that some soul would be saved, somebody would be challenged, some life transformed. And we'll give you all the credit for all that you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, I want to put you in the way back machine. I want you to take you all the way back to 83, 84, in the days when breakdancing first came out. I'm not going to get into me with Pumas with fat laces and a Jerry curl and some parachute pants. But some of y'all remember these days when these dance challenges would happen. Ultimately, there would be two crews who would be competing for who was the best dancing crew. Some of y'all remember Breakin' or Electric Boogaloo 1 or 2. And you remember that ultimately what would happen, what would happen was there would be this call out. There was a challenge from one crew to the other to get off the wall, to get out of the crowd, to get out of the shadows, and to show what it was that they had that they could do. And I believe in that for the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that this is a season where Jesus is calling us out. He's calling us out, and he's calling us into a new era of his purpose for us and what he desires that we be in this new understanding of what the people of God ought to be about in these days and in these times and in relevant ways that calls people into kingdom accountability. And so for the next few weeks, I want to deal with this idea of the call out, that Jesus is calling us out. And I want to start with this story in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And I don't want any texts. I don't want any emails about comparing me to Zacchaeus. But listen, that's where I want to start. So the Bible says in Luke 19, verse 1 from the New Living Translation, the Bible says that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. Jericho was a tax collecting region that pulled from several different areas around it. Towns and villages all had to bring their taxes to Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho. And the Bible says he had become very rich. And the Bible says that he tried to get a look at Jesus as Jesus was going through town, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Zacchaeus was too short, not Jesus. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus into his house in great excitement and joy. But the people, verse 7, were displeased. "Jesus has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Isn't it interesting? Here's the story about this man who's a chief tax collector. He's very wealthy because of what he has done and how he has done it. But here's a man who was stuck in his excuses. He kind of reminds me of Skilo. "I wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I was a baller." He had these excuses for why he was the way that he was. And yet Jesus calls him out. Look at this. Jesus calls Zacchaeus out of these excuses that he was stuck in, that he was stuck in his lifestyle, stuck in his living, stuck in his ways, stuck in his behavior. And Jesus calls him out. Zacchaeus, first of all, had excuses for his selfish agenda. The Bible says that he was a chief tax collector in the region in and around Jericho. Now, for the Romans, when they occupied a place, they took bids from individuals who knew that place, who knew that language, took bids on someone who would take on the business of collecting the set amount of taxes that the Romans had for that region. So Zacchaeus, his bid for how much he was going to bring in was the winning bid. But now, over and above that, he could charge whatever he wanted to the people, and the people wouldn't know what the tax amount was that the Romans wanted to collect. And so he got to keep that for himself. You're talking about an individual who was willing to cheat and exploit his own people at the expense of the oppressive Roman government for his own profit. Not only that, the Bible says that he was the chief tax collector. That means he pimped out other individuals to help him get rich, that he promised them a certain little something, something, if they would raise that amount from the poor working class people, and that they could get to keep some as long as Zacchaeus got his cut and as long as the Romans got their cut. Check this out. Zac was an individual who didn't care who he hurt, who he cheated, or who he used, as long as he was the one that ultimately got rich. He excused his behavior for treating people that way because selfishly he was looking out for numero uno. He was looking out for himself. And too many times, too often, we got to be careful because we excuse and rationalize our behavior because we're not really thinking about protecting ourselves. We're thinking about enriching ourselves. We're thinking about our own selfish agenda and how we want to be seen and how we want to be understood and how we want to be treated. Not only that, but if you look at Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus had excuses for his shortcomings, that's not a pun, and his insecurities. Look what the Bible says, that he wanted to get a look at Jesus, verse 3 says, but he was too short to see over the crowd. He couldn't see over them. So he ran on ahead of the parade route, and he climbed a sycamore tree because he knew Jesus was going to pass that way. Now check this out. If we look into those verses and we look into what's happening, we see that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but not necessarily enough to push through the crowd. He didn't want other people to know that he wanted to see Jesus because he didn't want them to see him, the chief tax collector, as showing his vulnerabilities. He was hiding his own insecurity. Now, rather than push for what it was that he needed in wanting to see Jesus, he came up with a workaround solution. I'm going to climb this tree. How many times do you and I, rather than dealing with our own insecurities and our own shortcomings, how many times have we done what we have done to find a workaround rather than to confront what it is and who we really are, and whatever that may mean in terms of our own insecurities and shortcomings? He was willing to do whatever it took to be above the situation for his own gain. He was willing, as the chief tax collector, to climb a doggone tree. He didn't care as long as he got what he needed and what he wanted. And it's interesting because he wanted to be around Jesus, but he wasn't willing to confront what he feared about himself. He wanted to see Jesus, but he wanted to do it in a way where he could still hide out in his excuses and cover his insecurities and his vulnerabilities. But yet Jesus calls him out. Zacchaeus was one, he had excuses for how he treated people. And we know this because in verse 7, after Jesus invites himself to Zac's house, the Bible says that the people around him were displeased. And they said that Jesus had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. Check this out. Sin in the, they used the word sin in the Old Testament context of unrighteousness, that unrighteousness in an Old Testament Jewish understanding is unfair or inequitable or evil treatment of fellow human beings. That in the sense that Zac had taken advantage of people and cheated people, that he was a sinner, that he had treated people evilly. Not only that, but he was the notorious Zac. That he was notorious for his bad behavior and his treatment of other people. He saw his life and his lifestyle was, you know, I just know how to use the system. I just know how to game the system. But in truth, he didn't consider all of those that he had stepped on and stepped over and stepped around to get out of his way to get what he wanted in life. He had excused his bad treatment of other people. And Jesus calls him out. Notice this, that when Jesus calls us out, we can't be close to Jesus and continue with our excuses for how we mistreat people. Jesus, the Bible says in verse 5, Jesus stops all that was going on, all the people around him. He stops and he looks directly at Zacchaeus. And I love it. He called him by his name. Zacchaeus had never met him. Nobody ever told him about Zac, but Jesus knew his name. No matter how much we try to hide, no matter how much we try to cover our vulnerabilities and our insecurities and our bad treatment and our bad behavior, Jesus knows us and he knows how to call us by our name. And he says to Zacchaeus, he says, come down. I see you up there trying to, in your workaround to get around all of this, but I need you to come down. I need to be a guest in your house. Listen, what I want to try to for us to get is that the Lord is calling us out of our excuses for our bad behavior. It's time out for all the excuses that we use. Well, they're a different political party. They're a different color. Well, they're not on the same level as me. There is no excuse for us treating people not only how we want to be treated, but number two, how Jesus calls us in the transformed life of Christ that is lived in us by the Spirit of God that is to be lived out of us. There is no excuse for how we talk, how we treat other people, the attitudes that we have, and Jesus is calling us out on it. I know this is tough on somebody. It's tough on me, but listen, check out Romans 1 and 20, that when we know better, the Bible says that we are without excuse. We ought to do better once we know better. We can't treat people made in the image of God. I wish our governor, Ron DeSantis, would hear this, but we can't treat people who are made in the image of God as less than simply because we think we are morally better. Jesus is calling out that behavior. He's calling us to come down. Because see, when Zacchaeus came down out of his tree and off his high horse and submitted himself to Jesus, it became evident in a new approach to how he dealt with people. You see it in verse 8. In verse 8, Zac says, listen, the people that I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor, the people that I've treated, I'm going to repay four times as much. He went one percentage over what was required in the Old Testament for when you had wronged somebody. He said, I'm going to give them back four times as much. Because listen, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 is very clear that once we are brand new creations in Christ, old things have passed away. All the old excuses, all the old rationalizations, all the old behavior, all of our old stuff, all of that has to go away. And we have to be new when we really encounter the call out of Jesus. And when we respond to Jesus' call out of our poor treatment of others, there needs to be, listen, immediate and corresponding action on our part. You don't have to wait till next week to start doing better. You got to start doing better now that you know better. And so that begs the question, what is going to change in our actions, in our words, in our treatment, in our behavior towards other people? What needs to change immediately now that Jesus has called us out? Because listen, Jesus indicates that this change of heart and this change of behavior was proof of Zacchaeus's deliverance from his former life and from his excuses. Jesus says that salvation, he says in verse 9, salvation has come to his house today. That now salvation in this context carries both connotations, both salvific, but also the idea of deliverance. Jesus is basically saying by his faith, Zacchaeus is saved, but by his actions, his faith-filled actions, Zac is delivered from this bad behavior that he was acting in and acting out in before. Jesus is calling us out of our because he wants to deliver us from our excuses, from our rationalizations, and from this old way of life. Why? He says it in verse 10, his whole job is to seek and to save the ones who are lost. We might think that we're in Christ. We might think that we're in church, but are our actions proving how lost we really are? And so Jesus, who wants better for us and from us, Jesus is calling us out. What excuses am I using for why I'm staying stuck in the things that I think, the things that I do, the ways that I operate. There's no excuse. I'm a brand new creation in Christ, but yet I'm still operating like I'm a notorious sinner. The way that I'm treating people is notoriously bad. And Jesus stops everything that he's doing to call us out and say, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you from the sidelines to the center of the show. What are you going to do? What actions are you going to change? Because I'm calling you out because I think you can do better. I know you can do better. Now show me what you got. And so this is a season where God is calling us out and he's calling us up. I love the fact that the Bible says that he never delivers us from something unless he wants to take us to something else. And so I'm challenging somebody today to examine your own heart, your own life, your own mind, your own behavior. What excuses have you used as the reason why you can stay the same and stay stuck and not grow and not be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Whatever those excuses are, Jesus is calling them out. And he says, I want you to come down because I want to stop by your house today. I want to see the transformation lived out in what you do past your old excuses and your old behavior. Whew, that's a tall order for many of us. I include myself in this. But Jesus is calling us out. And the question is, how are we going to respond? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you love us enough not to leave us stuck in our mess, stuck in our past, nor stuck in our excuses. Thank you that you love us enough to confront us, to call us out, to show and prove what you have put in us by the power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage today to respond to the call out, that we would decide to set aside our excuses and our rationalizations and to operate in the newness of life that you've given us because of your sacrifice, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And then you loved us so much, you put your Spirit on the inside of us to give us new motivation, to give us new power, to live out what you've put in. And so, Father, we choose to respond today to this Jesus call out. And if you will help us by your Spirit, then we will choose to operate in a new era and a new phase and a new understanding and a new set of righteous behavior, where others will be treated as we want to be treated, and we will treat others like we would treat you. And so, Lord, we pray for power, we pray for capability and even motivation to set aside the excuses and to walk in this new era. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you in Jesus' name.